This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, our 4G Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We're live Shell Shack in Arlington. Just getting into this segment here, had the Mike McCarthy press conference. If you want to go back and listen to that, you can do it on the Odyssey app, 105.3TheFan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. If you're hungry for some seafood, we're live at Shell Shack in Arlington right off of 30, and we'll be here for the next hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Love to see you swing on by. Cowboys Hour coming up at 7 o'clock with Brad Sham and special guest. Right now, let's continue this edition of The Finest that was interrupted by that presser. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Yesterday was awesome. And, man, I think there's a couple of guys that need to be shouted out. You know, Broadus mentioned earlier with how banged up Zach Martin is and has been. It may have been some level of addition by subtraction, bumping in old Brock Hoffman to the right guard spot, and him just being healthy, just being a healthy, fresh-legged dude who is ready to go out there and get nasty with you.
Oh, he'll get in a fight every play. And you love that mentality. I love offensive lineman, 100%.
He's the man, and we love sitting down with him at training camp. And he was a fun dude. You can tell the testosterone is just oozing through him and off of him.
Yeah,
and he
loves
capitalized.
His eye black.
He's funny.
He is. Yeah, he's got a nice person. Oh, because he does a podcast too, right? He does that.
Yeah.
I can't believe Micah Parsons hasn't assumed that into his Bleacher Report tree of content. You know, if you're Brock, aren't you going to knock on that door from time to time? Hey, you know, Micah, I know you're a managing editor here. You have a full-time job outside of playing on Sundays, and I just want you to know I got a podcast. I wonder if he sends some demo reels.
I
want
to get picked up. You know, I'm going to Micah like, hey, dude, at least come on my show, I mean, to start with.
Boom.
Maybe I could come on yours, but if I'm not a big enough of a star, I wouldn't mind being on your network, dude.
We get under that umbrella.
Yeah, team me up. Teammate,
buy low.
I think that'd be a pretty good option. But he was pretty nice yesterday, and by nice I mean he was filthy. Like, he got the two F's in Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
It's filthy animal for the first one. The second F stands for finisher. I love the way he pancakes somebody and then he just like shoves their face down to get himself up off the ground.
Yeah,
it's just a nice touch.
Yeah, it's questionable at best from the official. He's like, well, was that on purpose? I can't really do an unsportsmanlike here, but it's just that extra rough stuff that I...
Finisher.
And between him and Bass and BB and, you know, obviously Guyton, you've got some young dudes here that have, you know, put together some good film recently.
Richards? Even Richards, yeah. And he's not dealing with the ankle deal. But, you have a couple of young offensive linemen that you can feel like when you go silver linings for the season, hey, did we develop a couple of these guys?
At least depth.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, at the very least. When we're talking about, like, one of the most premium units in the sport where it's just so hard to come by, even in recruiting, like the college coaches talk about it all the time. Like, I can find skill guys anywhere, dude. I cannot find a legit true five lineman almost ever. So if the Cowboys can do a little bit, that'd be good. The 817 says Mozzie sucked. And
Mozzie was pretty good yesterday.
I thought he made, I mean, the first play of the game, he owns Biotish.
He drove Biotish back. It's so funny. He plays really well in division games. His three best games this year have all been against division teams.
Well, and centers that don't handle power well.
Now, he I tell you what, as a group, that team got off the ball yesterday. They were winning on the Commanders' side of the line of scrimmage.
They were.
And the Commanders have done a pretty good job. They run the football effectively. I can't know. Mozzie Smith is it, you know, as the game was going on, you could see him, you know, as he's getting off blocks, he's running the ball, his effort is much better.
Getting down
controlling
line.
Controlling ball. Yeah, when he plays, you could tell. You could, because of the way that, like, sometimes in the run, when the runs get stopped, and they haven't had many run stops, but Robinson trying to run inside, Eckler trying to run inside, it's unfortunate, the play that Daniels had where he ran the option and then
yes.
went for about 16 yards, they had everybody where they needed to be. Overshown fell down. Overshown was going to get to where he was in the hole, and he tripped, and he's going forward. Daniels runs right by him. If Overshown's on his feet, that's maybe a 1 or 2 yard gain right there, mm-hmm. you know, instead of a 16 yard gain. But anyway.
Overall, run D was solid. I thought Micah Parsons was good in the run game as well. And brought us, we said, the two Fs in Hoffman, filthy animal and finisher. Yeah. Thought it was a nice game from him yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He did a nice job. You're absolutely right about that.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
All righty. It's time to hit the Expressway. LA Live's coming up at 5:40. Here on The Fan, we'll get you caught up on everything that's been developing, including a very extensive Cowboys injury report. There's Mavs news as well as they approach tip-off. And we're back with the Expressway. Some Krusty's Corner here, 2.0. He'll give you more film takeaways from yesterday's Cowboys victory. That's coming up next right here. Live Shell Shack in Arlington. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. We are live at Shell Shack in Arlington right off of 30. And it's time now for an edition of the Expressway. We're going to double up some Krusty's Corner inside of this because he has just an extra batch of takeaways from yesterday's game. He's first to look at the film and all of the media, and he delivers for you every Cowboys Monday here on The Fan. There's details from the Cowboys injury report and the Mavs as they get set tonight to visit the Hawks. Trae Young struggling, shooting under 40% from the floor. Atlanta, not a good team, once again, searching for an identity. But there's Mavs news here in just a second. Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. The segment is presented by Soda, that state-of-the-art. And, of course, this football hour, Wolchuk, pretty impressive.
Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football.
Okay, let me just reset the biggest takeaway from the Cowboys presser. Mike McCarthy saying Cooper Rush, he's got some work to do, but I think we're going to be fine. Short week before Thanksgiving game versus the Giants. I'd love it if we could see Trey Lance. Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, I think you could beat the Giants with Rush or Lance. I guess it'd be great to try to build on the momentum of the Cooper Rush game. 75% completions, no interceptions, 117 passer rating. You know, I think the idea that maybe Cooper Rush was rusty for not playing for a while and maybe yesterday was a step in the right direction is something to explore, but I'd also like to see Trey Lance. But there's that story. Klay Thompson and Quentin Grimes are both out tonight. Yeah. Klay's got the plantar fasciitis, and Quentin has the illness. So a little shorthanded tonight.
Kyrie's a little ill as well, but he's playing.
Right
maybe
on.
A little something going around.
Need him, yeah. Maybe just a bug. And we get the Stars at 6 o'clock.
Yes, that is right. Stars hockey as well. Monday Night Football tonight, Chargers and Ravens in Los Angeles, a little Harbaugh Bowl. I think this is the first time since the Super Bowl. Baltimore, 2.5-point road favorite. Should they be? Should Baltimore be a favorite here against the Chargers? I mean, Ravens have not been playing great on the road. They've lost their last two road games. And I just think this Chargers defense is legit.
They're running the football really well with J.K. Dobbins. The Chargers are probably a team that's being slept on a little bit right now. That's a tough out.
They've got
they play that style come playoff time. That's a tough team to beat right there.
They got a coach that's really, really tough, and they've got a staff that's really tough, and they're not going to lose those games anymore that they got down to the end and, like, they would mm-hmm. mess it up and Lynn or anybody else, those coaches, and they'd find a way just to give these games away. They don't do that anymore with this guy.
Phillip Rivers always had to go like 60 yards in 30 seconds with no timeouts, and he was down four.
Yeah.
It's like, gosh dang it, again.
What are we thinking about this Cowboys injury report? It's another one of those deals where like a third of their active players are on here. Bland, Cooks, Diggs, limited. Jake, DNP. We heard from Mike McCarthy there. He's got the concussion. He's got a chance to play, but not sure. Kendricks and Nealon, DNP. DNP for Zach Martin and Awesome Richards as well. Rush and Tyler Smith were limited. Nick Vigil, DNP. You think these guys can get on the field Thursday, Brian?
I'll have to ask about, it's quite a list. You've got some guys that played in the game that they probably want to make sure that they, you know, when you're talking about Bland and
Nealon
and those guys, you kind of want to make sure that they get through. I was talking to somebody on the staff about Bland, and, you know, during that time when he was playing, they kept going up to him and asking him, how you doing? And he's like, let's keep going. So, you know, he was feeling good. These guys were on a pitch count and stuff like that a little bit. It's funny to say pitch count for a football team, but here we are. My gut feeling is that the majority of those guys that are on that list, I'd keep an eye on Ferguson. I'd keep an eye on Martin.
Yeah, Stevens seemed to say they're probably not going to be able to go.
It's got
to
be a big day for a lot of days off, though, just because of the quick turnaround, the three games.
It's
11
tough.
Days and all
I mean,
that.
It's tough. And
get them recovered.
Listen, they, you know, not that playing without Zach Martin is any good, but, you know, and you're dealing with, you know, when I talk about the Giants tomorrow defensively, offensively, when we do that, you know, we're going to talk about defensive tackles. And, you know, but the Commanders had some defensive tackles of their own they had to deal with in these games. And the young linemen did a pretty good job of hanging in there. So hopefully you get Smith back. We'll see about Martin. But I would keep an eye on those two, Ferguson and Martin, for sure.
We'll get more takeaways from Broadus in the film here in just a minute. But this is a local and international story here.
Whoa.
Most valuable promotions. Who promoted the Tyson-Jake Paul fight, released a statement today addressing the credibility of the fight that took place in Arlington earlier this month. Did you guys think it was rigged? They say rigging a professional boxing match is a federal crime. Paul versus Tyson was a professional match sanctioned by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulations. Both fighters in good faith performed to the best of their abilities with the goal of winning that fight. There were absolutely no restrictions, contractual or otherwise, around either fighter. Each boxer was able to use his full arsenal to win the fight. Any agreement to the contrary would violate TDLR boxing rules. I think he meant TLDR. But anyway, he says, trash talk and speculation are common in sports, and athletes and promoters need to tolerate nonsensical commentary, jokes, and opinions, but suggesting anything other than full effort from these fighters is not only naive, but an insult to the work they put into their craft and into the sport. It's further illogical and inane that MVP, in the debut of a hopefully long-term partnership with the world's biggest streamer, an organization that made its first ever foray into live pro sports with Paul Tyson, would even so much as consider such a perverse violation of the rules of competition.
Oh, my gosh. How wordy was that?
Right?
Very wordy. Good. I appreciate it, though.
I fell asleep twice during that.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It was obviously rigged. It was clear. Tyson wasn't doing things, and at the end, Paul could have done a lot worse to him, and he clearly did not. Mm-hmm. That was there's no way that thing was 100% clean.
Yeah, you know, I thought Tyson's legs were failing him so much that he just couldn't make that quick bold jump to the side and then throw in balance. But I think for sure, like, Jake Paul not finishing the fight,
yes,
you could say is less than
that
pure competition.
I mean, yeah. He even said it. He was like, I could tell his age in there, and I didn't want to hurt him unnecessarily. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's
but weird. I think maybe an inexperienced and immature sports promotion company to release such a lengthy statement. It just, you know, shows that maybe, you know, their debut promotion is, you know, indeed exactly what it feels like here. All right. It's time now here in about 9 minutes for L.A. Live. But let's get some more film takeaways. Here's Broadus.
Yeah, thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. I want to kind of – there's a couple other things I want to visit with about this game. Mike McCarthy brought up a Schoonmaker's touchdown, and I kind of want to walk you through that one. I thought this was really – he mentioned the read that Cooper Rush had, seeing Schoonmaker. Schoonmaker was really – he was one-on-one with Chin with no safety help in the middle of the field. It looked like to me he mentioned they were trying to bracket Lamb. I kind of felt like they were trying to go cover – two with two safeties on the hash, but when the safety, you know, when Chin just stayed in position, then that allowed Schoonmaker to get past him. And I wonder what they were wondering, what he was thinking, what Chin was thinking with nobody behind him. He really was the last line of defense between the, you know, the line of scrimmage and the goal line with the two safeties. Corner was opposite of him, and so I just kind of it's it really was confusing what the Commanders were trying to do. Like I say, I thought it was kind of going to trying to get to a cover two look, but Mike seems to think that they were trying to double, and I believe him on that. But really, just a poor play. But the thing that I really really liked about it was that Schoonmaker was able to just go vertically and then just kind of separate, just get past, and then be able to bend back to not drift, you know, towards maybe where the corner would be. He stayed more towards the middle so nobody could be able to defend the play. Rush did a great job of getting him the football. Mm-hmm. You know, that could have been one of those, throw it too far, you know, all of a sudden it's off his hands, but Schoonmaker able to make the play there.
So was that guy, like that linebacker, whatever, maybe it was chin kind of down low, was he supposed to carry that
at
the scene?
You know what? No, I think it was like a zone coverage kind of a look.
Because the safety just immediately runs the other way.
Other way, yeah. So they were kind of like, it looked like to me that just they just blew the coverage. Like one, you know, even if you listen to, you know, to the commentators of the game there, they were talking about, I mean, hey, I don't know. It looked like half were playing man, half were playing zone. That I think that was the problem, right?
No, they just flipped the coverage.
They just busted it.
They didn't know
it.
What was going on.
Yeah. Schoonie, second leading receiver. Did you see enough to make the case that maybe this Ferguson injury is perfectly timed a year and a half into his career, ready to take on more? Or what do you think?
You know, I think there's still some things with Schoonie. The point of attack blocking is supposed to be one of his – he got a holding call or would have been a holding call. I mean, he tackled the edge. We saw what happened. You know, there's been a couple of times where he has been able to block and move people, get into people. You know, is it better than Ferguson? No, I mean, they just don't have a real point of attack blocker right now. And I would like to believe that Schoonie maybe the third year will be the charm for him to getting better at that.
I mean, tight ends take forever to.
Yeah, I mean, and especially the Cowboys. I mean,
Schultz was year three.
I mean, maybe not better than Ferguson, but at least progress, man.
Second
option.
I totally agree. I mean, he catches the ball well enough. I mean, there's times where you feel like he's going to fight it, but you know he's going to catch the ball well enough. I think he's going to get better the more that. But he also makes mistakes in the game that you're kind of like, you can't have that happen. So, you know, it was good for him to be able to show up here the last couple of weeks and make a play or two for you to help. Okay, I'm talking about the defense. We were visiting about Mozzie Smith a little bit. Mm-hmm. That first play of the game for the Commanders, that was just a great job by Mozzie Smith coming off the ball, and he knocks Biotish back. I mean, Biotis is trying to get over in front of him, and he just knocks him back, and he knocks him back in a way that Robinson really didn't have a way to go, you know, and you're like going, oh, okay, Mozzie, right off the jump. Knocks Biotis back. Robinson's having to make a cut. Osa comes flying in there from the three technique to Abel, and, Robinson gets injured, unfortunately for them. I think it affected him clearly at the end of the game. He couldn't play at the end of the game. He just tried to give it a go, but he couldn't. But Mozzie was playing with power throughout this game. It's kind of like he saw Biotish, and he's like, oh, I know you, dude. You know,
He
wore him out. And, you know, he wore out the guard. The two commander guards were having problems with him. You know, it was a positive game for Mozzie Smith when you watch. So when Mozzie's bad, he plays too high, he gets washed. He played with a lot better knee bend in this game. He played with some really good power. So, once again, division game, Mozzie Smith. We'll see what happens Thursday. I expect him to have 12 tackles against the Giants on Thursday because it's a division game. You know,
yeah.
That's my theory right now. Okay, I mentioned about let me talk about Butler and one of his pass breakups that he had here. And he had three of them in the game there.
Some big third downs.
He had some big third downs. The first one, he did really a super job. Brown is going to try and run an in-breaking route on him. And there is a little separation on this play. But where Butler has gotten better is his footwork. Okay. You know, there was times where you break it on him. We've seen him some of the opportunities where there was that separation and his footwork wasn't as good and he wasn't confident of having to pedal, then break on the ball. You know, you were kind of thinking like, oh, geez, a little bit separation. He's not going to be able to rally. He did a great job of putting himself, by his footwork, putting him in position to make a play with his offhand, and we saw it a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Again, footwork, knocking the ball down. That part of it's getting better for him because he's starting to play a little bit more, play with a little bit of confidence right there. So for good for him to be a part of that.
The best thing that happened to him was just drawing the Noah Brown assignment time and time again. That's a great way to kind of get your feet wet a little bit.
Yeah, that, you know, you're absolutely right about that. Okay, Daniel's TD run, and this was the one where it the 17-yard touchdown run. This was kind of unfortunate for the Cowboys. Really good block by Sanat, the tight end, on Bland. He just destroys Bland on the edge. And what happens is Wilson, who played a really good game for you yesterday, Wilson got trapped inside by Bates, the tight end, and which put Golston in no man's land. Golston was kind of caught between, do I go for the ball? Do I go for the pitch? How do I play this? He's really in no man's land. Hooker didn't help with his reaction at all. Hooker needed to react quicker and maybe drive on that football, maybe get down in the alley, maybe make that play, but he didn't do that. Daniels was able to, once he got the block on the outside, he got the pin on the inside, and then you have Golston kind of caught in between where he was good, where he needed to be, and they don't get the safety over. You're going to get the touchdown right there. So unfortunate right there. That was one of the poor blocks that they played really all year, in that game. Wilson's fumble. Now, here I'm talking, you know, about Wilson getting pinned to the inside, but his fumble, this is where the Commanders run a similar play to what the Cowboys did. They run that fake toss, and it gets Bates, the tight end, up the field inside on Wilson. And as Bates turns up the field, you see Wilson, and he's able to close, and then he hammers the ball on the right arm. He hammers that right arm of Bates. And great job by Kendricks getting in there on the play, getting the fumble. But, you know, that's what Wilson needed to do. I mean, he got beat inside bad. The separation ball was right there. As Bates is going up the field, you see it. Like, you see Wilson.
He's going for the club.
He sees that ball in that right arm. He's able to knock it loose. Kendricks was rallying over. He beats the other Commander players to the ball. Good job by him of getting that fumble. Good job by Wilson making up for getting beat inside, knocking that ball loose. Okay, Parsons sack. Parsons is able to beat Allegretti, the guard, right off the snap. He's playing over the, like, as a three technique, and just beats him right off the snap. Biotis can't get over. I mean, Parsons beats Allegretti so quick that Biotis couldn't even get over to help. Daniels was fortunate to hold on to this ball. I mean, with Micah coming around, he's trying to kind of climb forward and maybe make a throw. Parsons is on him so fast that, I thought that ball was going to flying out of there.
I was surprised it didn't.
And Daniels was able to hold on, but really nice job by Parsons chasing the play down, running Daniels down, and almost knocking that ball loose.
All righty.
Okay, can I have one more real quick
one?
Okay, Turpin's kickoff return. This was a hard kick to handle. This was the touchdown. It was a really hard kick to handle because the way the ball was kicked, the line, it ducked down. Luckily, Turpin gathered that thing. The spin move was brilliant because it affected two Commander defenders. Really bad job by McGee, the linebacker. The way that he slow played, the way that Turpin kind of slow played the run, it took McGee, the linebacker, inside, and that really opened up things. He faked two guys, and then Brooks could have been called for a block in the back. Hall could have been called for holding. Neither happened. Great break for the Cowboys on a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Krusty's Corner 2.0. You get the full deal every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Shell Shack in Arlington. Come get some food if it's quitting time. We'll be here till 7. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has L.A. Live.
Yeah, let's get into a Monday-Friday edition of L.A. Live, running through the great Rick James.
All right,
G-Squares. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
I had a question. So Thanksgiving's this week.
Yeah.
Fred. Pumpkin pie, yes or no?
All right, can I ask y'all this? All our parents did this the same. What's the number one rule about food? Do not play with your food.
Sure, sure, sure.
Pumpkin is not a food. Have you ever left your house and said, baby, I'm going to this grocery store, do you need anything? And she said, yeah, bring me back some pumpkin.
It's not a food.
It's not a food. Food.
Oh, my God.
It's not a food. Then your mama let you cut faces in it.
Yeah.
Get it outside.
Let you play with it.
Right. Okay, if it wasn't pumpkin pie, what other use does it have besides feeding hippopotamus? Like animals don't even. I met a deer in the woods. He said he don't like pumpkin.
Oh my God!
It's not a food. You're right.
It's food.
You're right.
I've never thought of it.
Yeah. But guess what? For 2 months, we put it on a pedestal. Yeah. For November, December, I can't even go to the 7-Eleven. You want a pumpkin spice box latte? No, I ain't want none in April. I want none now. Everything tastes like pumpkin in the month of November. Why?
Hey, that boy cooking right there, that is Fred Smoot. He is cooking. He is 100% cooking now, I'll tell you what.
Boat. The corner?
Yes, sir.
Washington, Minnesota Vikings.
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, one thing, though. I don't go out here and chasing pumpkins and whatnot, but the pumpkin seeds that are salted, those are great. The little salted pumpkin seeds you get in the little pack, they're kind of like sunflower seeds, but you don't have to crack them open. You just eat the whole damn thing. Fire!
It's fun to make them yourself, too.
Really?
Yeah, you put them out there on a like a baking sheet, put a little oil on them, and then you can salt, pepper, garlic, do whatever you want.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. Yep, good stuff right there. LA Live for Monday, November 25th, 2024. It is a Monday Friday vibes here in LA Live. Word to the now disbanded Dallas rap group, PPT for that name. Let's get right into it, folks. Did y'all see that Dwight Howard challenged Shaq to a boxing match?
No.
Yeah. He's on that Jake Paul, Mike Tyson vibes right here. He's feeling froggy after that fight.
Seeing that money those dudes are making.
He's seen that big money. Yeah, and he knows him and Shaq got a little beef right here, you know. Yeah. They've always had a misunderstanding. Dwight Howard reached out to Shaq via Twitter, challenged him to a boxing match. Who do you think would win?
I'm going to go with Shaq. I just think over the it's got to be like a 75 or 100-pound advantage. What is Shaq, like 55 maybe, 55 years old? And Dwight Howard's around 38 or so? So, but I don't know. I've seen Shaq. I saw Shaq fight Charles. I know he's going to be aggressive. I want to believe it's Shaq. I hope it's not Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean, if this was prime, I think it would be obviously Shaq. But the age difference, I mean, how much is Shaq really out there running around these days? We know not Dwight's much, still getting it done in Taiwan. Yeah. Like he's still moving around. He's got those broad shoulders.
He's got the reach.
He's got the reach.
Yeah.
Probably go Dwight here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the young guy this time. I'd love to see Shaq knock him out, but I think I'd rock with
Dwight.
You think
he'd come out there with a little bit of a knee pad like Tyson did?
Maybe.
A little knee sleeve.
Probably rock the ass of Shaq.
I don't know. I think Shaq grew up like with a military tough dad.
He did.
Okay. Where Dwight Howard grew up like in the church, you know, and I'm not saying church guys can't fight, but if I had to lean one and the other dude's like 3 inches taller and 100 pounds heavier, I'm going with Shaq.
Shaq's going to be huffing and puffing, bro.
You're right about that. We know he's not going to do much cardio. Come on now.
Cardio.
Who you got, Woolchuck?
Yeah, Dwight.
Dwight. Oh, you said that already. So it's 4-1? What, 3-1 right there?
I'll tell you what. I can't pull against an LSU guy, Lucius. You know that. So, yeah, I'll take Shaq. I'll take Shaq.
Y'all know Shaq fought Sugar Shane Mosley boxing one time before, right?
Did he really?
No, I did not know this, Lucius.
They were going back and forth. Shaq was doing his boxing thing. Shaq even got on, like, down on his knees and started fighting. Wow. Sugar Shane Mosley, bro.
Oh, wow. Dwight might like that.
Yeah. I think he did the goofy thing where you put your glove on the dude's forehead and watch him swing for a second.
No. Wow. Too small.
Yeah, he did the little brother thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dwight reached out to Shaq on Twitter, you know, challenging him to a boxing match. Shaq said, you got to have more than one ring to get in the ring with him. Took a shot at him.
Oh, good one. That was good.
Yeah, he says he only fights people in the top 75. And he also said, you can have the Superman belt, buddy. It's all yours. Okay, now, that's what I always thought about Dwight Howard. I always thought that was weird that you called yourself Superman and you played for the same squad that the guy that called himself Superman and played the same position as that dude. Yeah. I always thought that was weird. Dwight Howard right here cleans up the backstory. What do you guys think the backstory is on that? You think he's copying off of Shaq?
I think he was probably named Superman as a kid, like Dak was nicknamed Superman around his buddies, because he was so amazing.
I like that. Hold on.
The only person that act like they mad at stuff I say would be Shaq. I don't know why. He always...
I'm the real Superman. I did it first. I want to start here.
Okay, man. You won. God dang. That's why my teammates and everybody was calling me Superman, because of what I was doing, like, off the court, in the weight room. I remember one practice I jumped over Bo Outlaw. And Bo Outlaw was the same height as me. So, like, when I did that, they're like, man, you really like Superman. Like, you jumping over people in practice. Right. You lifting all the weights in the weight room. And you having fun doing it. So it's not like it was a, I'm trying to be like Shaq. Like, to be honest, I never paid attention to Shaq until I saw him win against Philly. That's the first time I really knew who Shaq was.
What?
When they beat Philly at the Lakers. I was in 11th grade, and I was like, dang, he doing Mutombo dirty. Just every play, elbow to the chest, dunk. That's not even legal. It wasn't nothing. The Superman came from all that. And then I used to do the Soulja Boy dance all day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Everything was Soulja Boy. You!
That's what you did after the dunk, right?
Yeah, after the dunk. That's why everybody was calling me Superman, because I could not stop listening to Soulja Boy.
Okay.
Is that camp or is that true for my Dwight? My man said he didn't know who Shaq was until Shaq was a Laker. Superman is how he got this from Soulja Boy. Is that camp? Or did he have a long time to think about that right there to come up with a good excuse? I don't know.
I'd probably take option B. You know, I was kind of going with it in the first part of the answer because of how strong he was and how easy he made things look early in his career. But then you add that part in there, it brings everything else into question.
Like, how you not know about the guy that was knocking down goals, bruh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he was born in 85. He knew who Shaq was before that.
Took till 11th grade before you figured out who Shaq Diesel was.
There's no way.
You didn't know that Shaq and Penny were on the Magics before you got picked up, bro? You didn't do like your...
He had to have known.
It's kind of strange to me. I don't know. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. How about this one? Did y'all see Jay Leno? Y'all see his face all beat up?
Yeah.
Yo.
He said he fell down a hill, right?
That's what he says, too. Is he capping like Dwight?
He got beat up, too?
Jay Leno, 74 years old. Now, I get it. If you're 74 years old, you take a fall. It's something different.
Oh, it hurts.
It could be a life-changing situation. He says he fell down a steep hill outside of Hampton Inn. Why is Jay Leno at a Hampton Inn?
You know, I saw some Twitter sleuths try to find the Hampton Hill that he fell down. I just don't think there's any way a man of his age thinks he could negotiate that. You know, it's like a steep hill with bushes everywhere.
Yeah, I seen the hill. I feel like if I fell down that hill, I would not have the injuries that Jay Leno has. I would be more hurt on the inside, hoping nobody's seen it.
Maybe somebody hit you with a sledgehammer across the face and then you fell down the hill.
Yeah, bro.
You know, but that was like a massive bruise, swelling, hematoma. I mean,
he's got a broken wrist. He lost one of his fingernails, bruised his entire left side of his body. His eye was damaged and is swollen shut. He said that was just a fall. He fell all the way down the hill, he claims.
Maybe got another car wreck or something. You know, he likes to go fast. Probably should not be driving high speed at that age. The only time I've seen somebody beat up like that is when they actually get beat up by multiple people or car wreck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro.
How about our guy Bobby Petrino? Bobby Petrino was pretty beat up. That coach from Arkansas.
Was that a ex-husband?
Or
a current husband?
Staffer. Maybe. Staffer on the Arkansas. Yeah. He said it was motorcycle.
No, he took the Ime Udoka route?
Yeah, he said he had a motorcycle accident. That's not true. Not true. Coach got beat up.
Let's speculate right here for a second, fellas.
Yeah.
If Jay Leno did get beat up, who would be beating up Jay Leno and why?
Well, I thought Letterman kicked his ass for several years, but that was just in the ratings. Who would beat him up?
Is that gambling, Des, bro?
Yeah, I just saw the alleged gambling.
Yeah,
stuff,
Lucius, I was about to say maybe some of those the wise guys got him.
Did he sell a bad car? Because he owns like 500 cars. Did he sell a bad car? Was the timing belt out? And he was like, nah, take it as is.
You see that?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the kind of things that are being the Hollywood elite are being accused of. You know, maybe you could have wanted to tell on somebody. Maybe you had information. You know, anything's up for consideration here in these days.
I just don't feel like he just fell and all of a sudden he's got the worst injuries of all time, Jay Leno.
No,
are you that accident prone? Remember, he almost caught himself on fire?
Yeah.
Remember that?
You did. You
tried. Then he had that Michael motorcycle accident situation.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
He's a clumsy dude.
Yeah, he might be kind of clumsy, man. But shout out to anybody that was trying to fight Jay Leno. They couldn't miss. That chin is right there. Fuck.
Yeah.
It sure is.
You can't miss.
He's a legendary chin.
He's got like a mascot head. You know, if you were like Mayhem, you know, when Mayhem, he puts on those
commercials.
That looks like Jay Leno head.
You think Corso just puts on the Jay Leno every week? Bigger, dumb, Bochy or Leno? I think it's a toss-up.
It's got to be
That's
Leno.
That's close, so I think I'd go Leno.
I think it's Leno.
What I was pecking around on, though, is this Jamie Foxx news speculation that maybe he was telling on Diddy, and he got poisoned, and that was his medical situation from 2023.
Hilarious.
You're trying to tell on some of these Hollywood elites.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe they'll try to off you.
That is hilarious. Those internet sleuths are out of control. They need to be stopped, no matter the cost.
Dick Wolf.
Yeah, Dick Wolf on radio. What I really think happened here is...
I'm telling you, something's up with this
tell
guy.
You, man.
Alert.
G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all. You find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. A winner right here comes from the Cowboys post game.
Yeah.
Here on the Fan. Don't miss it. I listened to a little bit of it, and I was out there walking the dogs. Let's see. Jeremy in San Antonio says, y'all aren't going hard enough on the Cowboys. Go 10 toes down.
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Thank you for giving me some of your precious time. I need a little bit of what Uncle Jim is drinking over there in his lap because I'm not really excited about this lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
And you guys want to call us to task, the Cowboys fans, about calling in and saying we should tank?
Yeah.
At what point will you guys at the mothership hold this franchise to task?
You're full of S right now. You're completely full of S.
Jeremy, we've been doing it after every single postgame show.
Our shows call these guys to task, you know? We're respectful about it.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with you. And
well,
you,
what is it that you don't agree with, Jeremy?
What more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
How long does this have to go on?
Well, how much more do you mean has to go on?
We're talking about how fancy and how fun this win is, and it's crap. This culture is crap. The leadership is not good.
They're going to okay.
At what point can we hold this franchise accountable?
We do.
At what point where you guys will? You're not.
You're full of crap.
I did it last week.
You are so full of crap.
I did
about
it last
you.
Week after the loss. I said that Jerry shouldn't even be doing the interviews anymore. Jeremy, open up your damn ears and listen. Listen. Do you listen to the postgame show every week, Jeremy? Do you?
Every single week.
Well, then you're lying. You're lying.
You're lying right now.
Longer than you guys have been on the air.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Sure.
But if you're listening, I've done exactly that. I've done exactly that.
Look at the way you're reacting.
Look at the way you're calling in just being BS.
It's not BS.
Look at the way you're reacting. That's how you win an argument in my house. Look at you. You're the one upset. I'm just trying to talk to you.
I'll tell you why I think Brian's so offended by that is because he has to defend his show, the G-Bag Nation, against people up at the Star who are mad at us for being so critical. And now somebody's saying, you're not critical enough. You can't win with anybody, Brian.
Nah.
I'm sorry.
Is it true that you went and called him a B after that? Because the text was saying that.
He did. I did call him a B.
He did.
I did.
And you put the itch on the end?
I didn't.
Oh, you just said you're a B?
I called him a B.
He called him a little B.
Yeah, I called him a little B.
Which I liked.
Great work, boys.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Yes, sir. Lucius never thought about eating sunflower seeds until he moved out of the hood. I have you know, never lived in the hood, buddy. Never lived in the hood. Pops did good.
Yeah.
We weren't rich. He was, though. We were just leeching on. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holla.
Salute. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Shell Shack in Arlington off 30. Swing on by. You know, we've been hanging out and fellowshipping with Tolos. all day long, and we have one more hour to get more in. What are we doing next, Chief?
We got a little sports hodgepodge, more takeaways from a football Sunday, plus the Aggies pulling out all the stops for UT Week. That's next here in the nation.